What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Mad Happy Podcast. I'm Mason.
And I'm Payman.
And this is episode 53, which is a very special episode for us. It's our 1 year anniversary. What do you think about that, P?
Wow. Yeah, I think it definitely went by fast. We've learned a lot. It's been a fun year and excited, hopefully, for many years ahead. What about you, Phineas?
Yeah, really, really a huge accomplishment. You know, I think there's some stat out there that says something around like, over 50% of podcasts don't make it past episode 20. And in my experience as a producer, the good ones make it, but so often people peter out or lose focus or don't have purpose. And from the outset, this show had real purpose and direction. And you two have been just really dedicated to the craft of being hosts, not just, you always got to look at the motivation for folks who want to start a show. And your motivation was pure and was just really in line with the mission of the company and you two as friends and co-hosts, and I think that shines through. So anyway, it's a huge accomplishment on many fronts, but it's been over a year. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a lot harder than I thought, and it's just like a grind in the sense that you always have to be on top of it, and you always have to be recording, and sometimes you really don't feel like recording, but hopefully, you know, over the year, we've gotten a little bit better as hosts. Hopefully everyone agrees with that. And, you know, we'll just keep at it and allow the show to unfold how it does.
Yeah, I think it's been super fun. Obviously, it was brand new for us. And it really is like playing a new sport and having to learn the rules and get your skills up and get shots up and kind of get practice. And I feel like we have really gotten a lot better. I mean, it's just been really fun to talk to a lot of these people. I think for me, some of the ones I didn't even know, I feel like have been some of the best conversations. And then also kind of in turn, the stuff that it's made me think about for my own life and my own mental health or conversations that I've had with the two of you guys kind of offline about certain episodes or big themes that really resonated with us. And then I think mainly to hear a lot of the feedback from the listener and our community about the impact that the show has been able to have on them and the just kind of inspirational conversations that we've been able to have. And I know there's been a serious ripple effect for a lot of people who look up to so many of these guests and to have them model this sort of behavior and conversation and habits, I think are really, really special. And I think we can't even really understand the potential impact that it could have. So it's been awesome, man. I'm excited to keep it going for another 53, for sure.
Yeah, I got a little outline here, but I want to freelance a little bit with a couple questions. As the producer of the show, I get questions all the time, and a few different ones come up. One is, people come to me all the time and they say, how do you get such fantastic guests? Like, why are these amazing people willing to come on the show? And I'll tell you the answer that I give them really quick, and then you can back me up or refute it. People really resonate with this mission. You know, talking about mental health, like you ask somebody to come on the show and people are very used to telling their life story or their personal challenges or their career journey or even talking about pop culture, but there's something about a willingness to be vulnerable and talk about mental health that makes people more open to share. I'm wondering what your reaction to the reaction is. Like, people have been incredibly receptive to come on the show and share their story. Does that surprise you? What's your reaction to the, you know, people's willingness to come on and be so vulnerable?
Yeah, we work hard on trying to, of course, like bring amazing people on the show and hear their story. And I think just like our brand, people were really open to when we launched in 2017 and we hadn't really done anything, but I think the message of optimism and mental health was something that a lot of people could relate with. And people were drawn to the brand in that sense. And that's opened the doors for us to do some amazing collaborations, have some amazing people involved with the brand. So similarly, when we were starting the podcast, we felt like there wasn't really anything like that out there. Like, of course, a lot of celebrities have done many, many shows, but none of them are really talking about mental health in those, and it's more like scripted or around a specific message. But I think the open nature of the show, people are interested in, and if it could help others, I think people are trying to give back and share their experiences, because so often, especially celebrities, their life is seemingly perfect from the outside or from Instagram or whatever. So I think the podcast forum is like a personal one that allows people to open up more.
Yeah, it humanizes people, right?
Yeah, and I think we have like big ambitions to continue telling even like bigger and bigger stories with amazing guests. And so we'll keep that up. I think people have enjoyed some of the guests we've been able to bring on, but we feel like it's just the beginning of what we're hoping to do with the show. And it's also not only about celebrities, you know, it's about telling just impactful mental health stories, even from everyday people like me and Mason. So we're gonna keep doing our best there.
Yeah, I mean, the experts you bring on are also a critical component to the show that I know we want to keep building on. But so one of the things that's core to the show is your individual stories and journeys with mental health. I mean, Pam, and you've talked about going to therapy later in life and that journey of being open and vulnerable. And Mason, you've spoken quite a bit about your personal journey with addiction and being in the program. You guys are both open up about your personal journey almost every single episode. Talk about the toll. Is there an emotional toll to be in that headspace every week and go to that place? I mean, this is, I guess, a question about your work generally, but I think the brand is somewhat different because it is so upbeat, positive, bright colors. Not that the show isn't that, but you're really sharing a vulnerable space with somebody once a week. Talk about, is there an emotional toll? Is it taxing at all to go to that headspace every week? I mean, we benefit from it as listeners because we get to just listen and participate and then turn it off. But to go to that headspace, talk about the emotional toll of hosting a show like this.
Yeah, I think it definitely weighed heavier on me in the beginning, but I think that had more to do with just my own shit of like being in my head or not wanting to talk about it in the beginning. And now I feel like when we were recording with Carter last week, I asked her kind of a similar question, and she hears people's stories and is in support groups all the time about suicide attempts of teenagers and all these things. And I was like, how do you kind of rally throughout the rest of your day after hearing that? And she's like, that's what gets me up in the morning. You know, that's what pumps me up. That's what inspires me. That's what kind of hypes me up to do what I do. And I kind of feel the same way about it now of sharing my story and talking about my struggles, although they are kind of heavier things that people are, you know, feeling shame around talking about and not the most comfortable things. That's part of what we're really trying to change and part of what the show is. So I think as I've continued to figure myself out and as we've continued to grow the show, just feeling more comfortable with myself and owning my story and my journey and knowing that if it weren't for that, I wouldn't be here trying to build Mad Happy, posting this show, doing all these other things that I'm doing in my life. So I feel like it was a really powerful switch in my mindset to be able to not be hiding these things that I'm carrying with me, but to really wear them on my sleeve and be proud of them. And I think that's proven to be helpful for the show, helpful for me in my life, and really the way that we're trying to turn the tide on this whole mental health conversation. So I feel like it wouldn't really be authentic if we weren't kind of living it ourselves.
What about you, Pam?
Yeah, that's a good answer, Mace. I feel that Mason's generally been better than me over the years about like sharing his own experience. And for me, I think the show has been a good way to do that, although it's still pretty early for me. I do generally share less as a person, so I don't think it's necessarily hard, but in some situations, I just don't know how much to share, how much to not. And I think it's because I'm still pretty new to therapy and talking about feelings in general, which in the past were just like more like just in the back of my head and never really like showed themselves or I never really talked about them, for better or worse. But I agree with Mason, like, you know, we're trying to spread awareness as a brand for mental health and make it part of daily conversations. So it definitely has to be part of our daily and weekly conversations. And I think the show forces us to do that in some ways. And then, of course, there's other things we try to do internally here, externally through Mad Happy, through the brand, the stores, everything we do. But this is a good forum to get it pretty unfiltered and I think pretty accessible for everyone. Whoever wants can listen to whatever episode they want. So
Yeah, it's one of the things I think is so unique about the show is that your mental health journeys are kind of on display a little bit, right? It is a journey. There's good days and bad. There's highs and lows. But it's like you're putting out your journey for your customers and listeners and supporters
sure.
out on the show. I think that's a core component, right? It's like the show's pretty raw, you know?
Do you feel like for you, Phineas, that it's had any impact on your mental health? I know that we didn't really get to hear much of your story this first year outside of that siblings episode that we did together and some other things, but has it made you think about your mental health in a different way of being on the sidelines for all of it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the landscape of mental health being as wide and dynamic and ever-changing as it is today, I think for me, the show has highlighted the different areas that I should and have not necessarily thought about as connected to my mental well-being and just like my health in general. And so like we've had episodes where we've talked about so many different elements that make up somebody's mental well-being or mental health
yeah.
that it's really helped me reflect on all of those different things. And so, yeah, I think I consider it a lot more. I mean, one of the references you all bring up all the time in the show and brought up very early on was like, why do we go to the gym for our physical health and not our mental? Why don't we treat our mental health in a similar form, similar fashion? And I think that rings true for me in the show and thinking about, okay, well, reflecting on my habits and what are the things that I need for me. The other thing that really has been inspiring for me listening to the show is like, you guys do such a good job of this, of highlighting that it's different for everyone. Everybody's got their own mental health journey and things that are good for them. Like it might be meditating in the morning for 10 minutes. It might be getting a good night's sleep. It might be exercising midday. Whatever it is for you, it's sort of a custom thing.
Right.
And I think I've done a lot of reflecting on what it is for me. And, you know, I'm sure this next phase of the show, I'll get into it more, what those things are. But there's many, quite frankly, yeah.
Nice, man.
The next thing I want to touch on is you two. I mean, not every podcast has co-hosts, and not every podcast is hosted by best friends, business partners that have known each other since childhood that are super different. One of the other beauties of the show is just how different you two are in your backgrounds, in the way that you approach.
Damn, that's a theme. I didn't know that.
As a listener, you'll notice it. You wouldn't notice it as much as a co-host, but it really is something that shines through of like, oh, that's a classic Mason answer, or that's a classic payment answer. And it happens.
Especially on the Rob Dyrdek episode.
It's beautiful. It's and it's fun. Really it's endearing to listen to because, you know, you guys kind of scratch different itches for listeners on the show. And it's like, damn, I want somebody to ask a question that's a little bit more that, and then the other one will do so. Talk about the evolution of your relationship.
Yeah, for me, I think the co-host thing is interesting because most podcasts, like you said, don't have co-hosts, and it's a lot harder than I expected. And early on, especially not doing most of the episodes virtually, makes it hard because like the person's not in the room, so me and Mason have to be on and in sync alongside the person, and that's why we're excited to, you know, to have the new studio, start doing more in-person episodes starting next month. But that's one piece. And then I think through that and through, you know, the 50 or so combos that we've had together, it's just been spending more time together in conversation, whether it's just us two or with a guest. But I think that still counts. And so through that, we've just spent more time together. So I think that's one definite positive of it. And then, yeah, I don't know if it's changed anything in our relationship, whether like through work or as friends, but I think that time piece and learning how to like host a show together has definitely, I felt that impact, over the, you know, last couple of months.
It's a different type of chemistry that we've been able to build, kind of how I talked about 10 minutes ago about it being its own sport. You know, think about two guys who grew up together, you know, and were friends growing up, and then they get to a team in the NBA, and like you really have to learn how to play off of each other and like work with each other in a different way. So I think just to step into that new domain, you know, us having to figure out our kind of prep and pregame routine and just how we flow kind of during the game with communicating and things like that, I feel like has been really fun. And then I think it's just been super cool to have these conversations together, you know, like how conversations that we'll have inspired by some of these guests that we have on, or when I got to interview Payman for his episode, you know, I think that was a really powerful, memorable moment for me, to be able to hear him talk about some of these things that I didn't even know, or some things that maybe only a handful of people knew. And I know that that was a big step for him, to feel comfortable doing, with how private he tends to be. So I think that was a really special moment, both for the show and for our friendship and just for him as a person. So I think that was really cool. And then, you know, just how many people that I've seen Payman tell on here that he's going to therapy, or just the more open that he's been able to be, I think is really refreshing and inspiring for me, to challenge me to continue to be open. And I think it's so important with him being the CEO and the leader of our company, to really lead with that and embody all of those qualities. So it's just been really awesome to see. And yeah, it's definitely hard at times, but I think in person will be a lot easier. And we love hosting the show together, and I think it makes it a lot more dynamic in terms of what we're able to do of hosting our own episodes, or having Payman take some and having me take some, and just we can be super versatile. And I think that makes the show unique and allows us to offer these different perspectives on the same topics.
Yeah, I want to follow up on something you said. This is for both of you, but I think I want to start with Payman. Talk about that, being the CEO or being the leader, or one of the leaders of this company, and having to then also be vulnerable about your personal stuff. Talk about that challenge, or at least that process or journey of trying to play both sides, or at least integrate the two. I'd imagine because you chose to start a company that focuses on mental health, it has to be built in some capacity, but I'd imagine it's not easy.
Yeah, I don't think it's something that we thought about when we were starting the company. But generally speaking, I think at first you're a very different person, you know, at home and at work. But I think over time, what I've noticed, even with, you know, some people that I look up to, is like they're more and more themselves in everywhere that they show up. And that doesn't mean that like you can't be a little more serious at work versus at home, things like that. But I do think being able to you know, show up as your true self is very important in doing great work. And so I think as I've been learning more about myself through therapy or just through life or through trying to run this company, I think I've just found who I am more and more. And hopefully I'll continue to do that over many years to come. But I think it's just a part of who I am to like share this stuff. And of course, like you said, like our company does talk a lot about mental health. So talking about it myself is an important piece. And I think it's not for everyone. It doesn't need to be for everyone. You don't need to have everyone sharing what they feel or not sharing things that they're comfortable with. But I think for me, it's been important. And the podcast is a good step in that journey. You know, we're also going to launch like an internal podcast. So things like that will also help for our team here. But then externally, obviously, we have the main show and a bunch of the other panels we do that we've already spoken on for many, many years. So we'll keep doing as much as we can there.
Yeah. What about you, Mace?
It's such a good answer. I really love Payman's answer. I think that something I've learned a lot is that we're all wearing so many faces throughout the day and just continually taking them off and putting them on. And I think as we get older and just in life and in business and everything, like if we can continue to reduce the number of faces that we feel like we have to wear, can just be such a more fulfilled, kind of balanced, clear life with just such a strong sense of like identity and integrity and just like just kind of purpose, you know. So I think Payman really hit it right on the head, and I think it's really hard for me because when I got back from treatment and kind of recommitted myself to being here and building this thing with these guys, I really had to compartmentalize my life a lot of this is my life at work, this is my life at home, this is my life in my relationship, this is my life with my family. And that was kind of how I had to build it. And then now I'm almost trying to blend the faces a little bit more and kind of decompartmentalize, because I feel like that's what allows just the relationships to be healthier, me to be talking about more stuff, me to kind of get more excited about work and integrate it into my personal life more and all these kinds of things. So I think that's just like such a great answer and like such a great lesson for people everywhere. And we've spoken about how hard it can be kind of growing up when you're trying to fit in with friends or you're trying to make the team or get into this fraternity or sorority and, like, you know, feel like you have to put on that face to match the other faces in the room. And I just think it's so special to be able to feel yourself and get to know yourself and really find your one true face. And I think Payman has done a really great example of that. And he's definitely someone that I look up to in that regard.
Thanks, Mace. I think one more thing last week that Jay Shetty touched on, you know, the thing from like when you're 10 to 20, you're trying to be like how other people are 20 or 30, like trying to.
No, I think it was 0 to 10 parents, 10 to 20 other friends, 20 to 30
yourself or whatever. The gist is that like as you get older, you start to find out who you actually are and who you want to be versus like what other people want you to be. And I think the sooner you could start on that journey, like I think it takes a long time, but the better. And I feel like that's like the path I've tried to be on, at least for the last couple of years. And then the identity piece is another important one, because so much of what we do is wrapped in our work, which is good to a certain extent, but also, you know, we aren't our work as well. So I think that balance will always be hard. And it's probably a topic for a different day. But I think at the end of the day, just being who you are in all places of your life, being one person, I think is important. So,
Shout out Jay
Shetty. Great episode.
Yeah. So I just want to answer one question that we got, on DM this week. And the question she asked is just like, you know, how to do stuff where like you're always trying to be like perfect in everything you do. So, you know, you're very worried about putting it out or it being successful or what other people are going to think. And I think it's a good time to talk about now, because like we did this podcast for a year now. And of course, like we had a brand and all those sorts of things, but this was a new area for us and we were very unsure about it. And in many ways, we're still unsure about it. But I would say that the important thing was just like putting something out there. With a podcast, it's like the perfect type of medium, because you have to record it every week. And that reputation makes you a little bit better at it. And so we knew that the podcast wasn't perfect when it came out. It's still not now, and it might never be. But I think just getting that momentum is really important, and getting started is what matters. And a lot of people are worried about what other people are going to think when they start putting things out like that, whether it's content or otherwise. And I think those are the people that you want to move more and more away from and towards, you know, stuff that you actually like, stuff that you're proud of. And just know that if you keep doing it, it will get better and you'll learn more and more. But Mason, what do you think?
I think that a lot of people talk to me about that too, and I always give them this same answer, which I love. And literally anyone who's listening right now, pause the show, go on Google and look up The Simpsons first episode, and you will see a photo of what the original animation was of The Simpsons and the original drawings that Matt had for his Simpsons shorts before the show got picked up. And that to me is the ultimate example and inspiration of what it means to just start. To just start and just have an idea and put it out in the world. And even if it's not perfect, you're not going to start where you want to end. You know, there has to be some sort of journey and there has to be some sort of growth. And I think that's been such a great example for me as a creative. And I know an example that I've shared with a lot of my friends in music, in fashion, in things where they've been so hesitant to put out a project or get started. And, you know, I think now The Simpsons is what, like one of the most longest running shows like of all time. It's in his like 30th plus season or whatever. And I just think that's a great example of they're still working on it. They're still getting better on the animation, voiceovers, etc. It's always a work in progress. Anything creative is really a living, breathing thing. So I just think that that's a really great example that I know has been huge for me.
Okay, I want to wrap with what we're looking forward to. Year one is down, year two is coming. We're scaling up this show in many ways, not slowing it down. What are you all excited about as we look into year two to build the show and take it to the next level?
For year two, I'm excited about having a studio in the new office, recording more in-person episodes, and hopefully continuing to bring on a wide variety of guests, celebrity, expert, and also like neither of those things, and just like share some really great stories, learn a lot, and keep growing the show in different ways, video, audio, TikTok, a bunch of things that we're working on our end, but that's what I'm excited about.
Same for me. I think I'm really pumped for the new studio. I think just to be able to have these conversations in person, we can go so much deeper and really relate to the person on a level that really can't be replicated through a screen. Obviously, we have some really, you know, dream guests that we ask everyone every episode, but I know that we also have a list of our own. So I think to be able to get a couple of people on that list, you know, like a few that come to mind for me are like Kid Cudi or like Naomi Osaka or like some of those people that we always talk about. I'm really excited to hopefully get one of those dream guests in the next year, which I think we definitely can. And then just other opportunities that we could do with the show on like the content side, on the live episode side. We have a lot of really, really fun stuff planned for the brand in the next 12 months that we've already been working on for a long time, and thinking about ways that we could integrate the podcast into that is super, super exciting. So a lot of work ahead, but should be fun.
And I'll close it out. What I'm looking forward to is the same, a lot of in-person stuff, bringing the show just to the audience in a different way. I think in-person is going to open up a whole new whole new hosting dynamic and a whole new interaction.
Totally.
And like I know just from personal experience that your personalities come out in a different way when you're live. And I know from all the folks that have seen you all on panels over the years, like people can attest to that. Just a different speed. I'm excited about that. The show is resonating with people in a way that's meaningful, and I think that's rare. So I'm excited to keep building that. And so, yeah, I mean, congrats on 1 year to everybody in the room.
Yeah, thank you, Phineas. Thanks so much for being a great producer and a friend and someone that helped really build the first year of the show. And we're excited to continue. Hope everyone's been loving the first year, and let us know what we could do better, but we'll keep it up.
Yeah, I mean, last but certainly not least, just such a big thank you to our audience and to the listener. Obviously, this show would in no way be possible without you guys. So, you know, whether you've been rocking with us since week one all the way up to week 53 or anywhere in between, it really means a lot that you guys support the show. And I think all of our episodes are really pretty much evergreen. So I think anytime somebody learns about the show or kind of hops on, we're really building all of these big well of conversations and really impactful stories that can hopefully live on a long time. So thank you guys. And this is just the beginning.
Thanks, everyone. Talk soon.
Peace. The Mad Happy Podcast is brought to you by Optimism.